Welcome to another edition of Disrupt Ed. I'm your host today, Darren Francis, and thrilled about today's conversation. Perry, thanks for joining us. This is Dr. Perry Sampson. He's a longtime professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Michigan, serial entrepreneur, having co-created the Weather Underground in the early 90s, because as he said, he needed weather data for a 9 a.m. class. But he's been creating technologies based on his teaching needs that have led him to co-found Learning Clues, which is what we're going to talk about today, a visionary AI-powered platform designed to help students study more effectively and provide instructors with robust tools to better support the students' learning. Background-wise for this conversation, also worth mentioning that my company, Harbinger Lane, we've actually partnered with Perry on Learning Clues over, I don't know, a year and a half or so at this point. So I'm really excited to dive in and have this conversation. Perry and I first crossed paths years ago at Echo 360. At this time, his innovative in-class engagement tool, Lecture Tools, had been acquired by Echo 360, was being integrated into the active learning platform there. And now he's back at it, launching another really cool tech. Perry, welcome. I'm happy that we found a few minutes to chat in between your big tour, speaking at various conferences this summer.
It's good to be with you, Darren. I look forward to reminiscing with you.
Why don't we kick it off with kind of where this all got started? I mean, you've worn a bunch of hats. You've been, you know, as we mentioned, the professor, the researcher, and the entrepreneur. But could you tell us about what led you from the classroom into education focused startups like Learning Clues?
Anticipating that question, I had to think back. Why did I do this? My research was in air pollution, but I got excited about education technology. And I think it goes back to when I went to college. And probably the driving factor in this whole thing is a bit of fear. Because I went to school as a first-generation student. When I got there, I didn't know what to do. I certainly didn't feel like I belonged at that school. And as a result of that, by the end of my sophomore year, I was on probation with a 1.8 average and thinking about maybe getting a job as a transmission mechanic. When suddenly something kicked in, and I want to, so this issue of students who come to school who have no familial background in college, students who are uncomfortable in college, people who come to the college, look in the classroom and see that there's nobody like them in the classroom, all have in common this sense of a lack of belongingness. So the issue I was trying to address in my early days and continue on is, how do we overcome that? How do we help students feel a bit more capable in the classroom? How do we gain their proficiency over the course of a semester? And how do we support students in these large courses, the intro courses, where this is particularly pronounced when you really are feeling stressed that maybe you don't belong?
This is a bit of the reminiscing that we have to do here, but I remember when you developed the previous platform, Lecture Tools, you had done some research where you were asking students basically a question around their happiness or well-being in class. Do you remember that? It seems very tied to this point that you're drawing, this thread you're pulling on sort of students' connectedness. But maybe talk a little bit then about when you initially created Learning Clues. Was this at the heart of the problem you were trying to solve? Was there something else you saw that you needed to address? Like, what was in your mind, the origin of?
Yeah, well, since we're reminiscing, when I built Lecture Tools some time ago, one of the main parts of that was the students could ask questions during class. And then the student questions would come to the teaching assistant, and they would get answered by the teaching assistant, who was basically doing spin control on my teaching and offering some feedback to the students. So it was sort of building this other way to communicate. And the nice thing about that was that the other students, everybody could ask questions, but nobody knew who asked the question. And they would get responses, and this became a dialogue. And remarkably, this was very powerful in class. And I'd often have, it was embarrassing almost, the hundreds and hundreds of questions I'd get in a semester telling me how very confusing I was. But the students were just either intimidated by me and not willing to come ask me the question, and certainly weren't about to raise their hand because, again, they didn't feel like they necessarily belonged yet at the institution. So the capacity for us to open the doors using technology and allow more students to have a voice without having the fear of being pointed out as asking a dumb question is central to what we want to try to build, is ways for students to have more interactions with the course without having to go to that mean, nasty professor, and with the ability to study more efficiently.
I see as a part of that, you know, you were doing AI before AI was cool. When you were building this product, you were telling me about AI, and I definitely didn't have the context to appreciate it probably until the last year as it started to become more commercially available elsewhere. But we're seeing a lot of AI tools in education, right? So what do you think makes Learning Clues truly different today? I'm imagining that it has a lot more to do with this connectedness for students and helping students have more reach and understanding from a tool like this. But tell me a little more about how AI fits into this.
We began this Learning Clues project with the support of the National Science Foundation at a point where, and this was before OpenAI and before it was released. And I'm just thinking about how could we help the student, first of all, be more efficient in their study. Now, there's some large percentage of students in class who are working at least one job and often multiple jobs. The price of education has gone up such that students need to be, you know, financially responsible, and they are getting jobs, and hence they have less time to focus on their study. So one of the first challenges was, how do we help them find the material they need when they need it? And we built a fairly elaborate search engine to allow students to find the material they needed. And then OpenAI, generative AI, came along. And I said, oh my God, this is a day and night change then in our way we can do things. And since then, we've been taking advantage of all the tools that generative AI offers to enhance what we had started. What makes us different than all the other tools, the bots out there where you can ask questions, is number one, I was and am a lazy professor. And in my goal to do less work, I don't want to have to add a new technology to my course that's going to cause more work. And so we built the system so it automates the ingestion of content from the course. Anything you say, if the course is recorded, anything that's in your LMS, we can access. And we then understand what's in there. We make basically a cohesion of all the information in your course. We identify what the learning objectives in your course are, so that everything we do is going to be related to your learning objectives. So the ease of use is probably the first thing. The second is, in our system, when you ask a question, it gives you a citation, because students often didn't appreciate that what I was covering in class was also covered in material in the LMS. And that lack of connectivity between class and the LMS was quite large. So in this way, with the citations, it would take you to the page in the document in the LMS that was relevant to what we're talking about or what your question's about. It would take you to the moment in the video that's relevant to the question you just asked. And this way, just simply exposing the students to what they already should have known about, but making it so that when they're studying and asking a question, it's going to point out the things in the course that I've already offered to them that are relevant to the question. The third, which is something quite unique to what Learning Clues is we don't look at just the individual course. We're going to track the student over multiple courses. So, for example, you take a course in statistics, And then later on, you take another course in let's say engineering, and you ask a questionnaire, and the question, though, requires that you understand some aspect of statistics. It will not only give you the citation for the course you're in, but also for courses that you've been in previously or concurrently. And in that way, we're sort of creating a holistic trajectory of the student's education. So even by your senior year, or possibly even after you graduate, you'd still be able to go back and ask a question and pull up material from courses that you've been in. So for the following of the student, a student-centric model, I think, is a key difference we have.
It feels to me like where you're coming from in terms of where you designed this, you designed the product for, and sort of your experience as an instructor has really given you as a founder and as a product builder a really interesting view into who you're building for, and it's showing already. I mean, for instance, right now, let's talk about the institutions that you're working with, right? So just as examples, so you're working with UC Berkeley Haas School of Business. You're about to launch a pretty wide scale pilot at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, also within their business school. You've got multiple projects going and evaluations going at the University of Michigan. In my work, literally to this to this point in my work, I would say those are all institutions that I would tell founders to stay away from at first because they're notoriously hard to get into. Their procurement cycles are complex. And honestly, they tend to be rather self-sufficient with big tech and learning teams and sophisticated tools already in place. So I'm just curious, what's your take on why you think you were able to get traction in this part of the market so early?
I wish I knew a good answer for that, but my suspicion is got to do with my team. I have assembled sort of God's gift of designers and programmers, including my co-founder, Kevin Collins Thompson, who's a professor at the University of Michigan, also teaches a large course on supervised learning and supervised learning. And these are, central to the kinds of things we need to work with to make our products work. When we sit down with schools like a Berkeley or Wisconsin and describe to them not only what we have, but the wild ideas we have for where we're going, that seems to grab their attention because they realize that A, we're in this for the long haul. Both Kevin and I are been around the block, and we have some good ideas for how to keep this thing moving for a long time. And at the same time, we have a lot of good ideas for where AI is going, and how we can take advantage of that for education. So, the simple knowledge that we carry with us, I think, is helps us get conversations we might not otherwise have.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think you speak the language of those systems. I also think that in a way you've likely, knowingly or unknowingly, like you've just naturally architected this product for higher education, and it's sort of ready built. You built it in the context of the world you knew at University of Michigan, and that happened to mean that you needed to have a robust integration to some core technologies on campus that others wouldn't have known to do, as well as just sort of your access to people, to understanding how to, how to best add value in those schools. I just find it really interesting and compelling. But let's talk about the other side of it, which is a few months ago, I had the pleasure to sit down with Dr. McCarty at Calbright College at the ASU conference in San Diego, and so we discussed many forward-thinking initiatives that they're doing for that fully online community college experience in California. But it's really aimed at supporting their non-traditional student population in the state. And of course, they're doing a pilot, right? So with Learning Clues. And so I'm just curious, what is Learning Clues specifically working on to serve underserved population, that's getting this kind of attention and having this kind of success at this stage. because you're on both sides of the market now, right? You've got the adult learner, and then you've got more of the traditional learner. Just curious what your thoughts are on how you've developed the product to serve that side of the market too.
Well, I have to go back to what I said at the beginning. From my own background, I came into the academic world as a first-generation student, scared out of my mind. And I sense that we certainly have students like that at the Wisconsins and Michigans of the world. Anybody, again, who feels like there's like one person in the class who's the best and everybody else feels maybe inadequate. But in schools like Calbright and Georgia State, issues there are, and other schools too, the issue is going to be course completion. These are students who are admitted to school and they probably have jobs that they're trying to upskill. They may have families. They have a great deal on their plate. They're going to school. They have limited time. They want to be successful. And my challenge is, how do we make some tools that are going to help them, that raise the possibility that they're going to be successful, that help them complete the course successfully. So the tools which help you study more efficiently, find the information you need in a split second rather than having to look through an entire book or watch an entire video. How do you find the material you need? Also, how do you know whether you're proficient in particular objectives of the course? We can show the student a proficiency score and say, oh, here, you're proficient at this. You're not showing much proficiency in these other things based on how you answer questions. We can send students questions right after class. So they get a couple questions every day after class, answer those questions, try to keep them more current in their reflection on the material in the class. And in that way, we record how they're doing on those questions. And from that, we'll report back to them where they should spend time when they do have some time. So it's very personalized to the student. We know that student. We know whether you suffered in the course before this. Maybe you passed the course before this. You were weak in certain topics. We know that and can bring that up as you move through. So it's a more supportive, very personalized system. And the goal there is totally to support student success.
We want to look down the road a little bit and in terms of like where the impact of this is 5 years out. But I think as a lead up to that, the present moment, there's a lot of people that are pretty anxious about AI's impact on learning or on AI's ability to sort of truncate someone's ability to learn how to learn. and so therefore, there's concerns about cheating with AI. There's concerns about, you know, where AI ought to be deployed and not. It seems like you've threaded that needle fairly well with Learning Clues based on what you've been talking about. But I'm just curious about how do you envision Learning Clues changing the way people learn, maybe not even just through higher education, but throughout their entire lives and their career? How do you see this playing out ideally?
Yeah, generative AI is going to be part of people's lives forever now. It's nobody's putting it back in the bottle. And it's going to be in the classrooms. And we've seen this in schools. There are students who simply take the questions from their homework and they put it into a ChatGPT and then scrape the answer that they get from ChatGPT as their answer in the assignment. Is that learning? We have a few ways to deal with that. Number one is since our system scans everything in the LMS, we know what questions the instructor is asking. And if a student sticks that question into our system, they get a response that they probably won't appreciate. First of which is we have what we call a coach mode. So if they ask a question which we know is part of or close to or in an assignment, then we don't answer the question. We come back and in fact, ask them a question in return, saying, okay, you asked this question. Oh, well, what do you know about this question? And then we walk them through the problem, in effect, giving them a model for how they would solve the problem themselves. And as they go through these steps, they will arrive at a point where they can now answer the question themselves. But I'll be damned if I'm just going to hand them the answer to the question from a homework assignment.
Yeah, you're sort of forcing them not to take those shortcuts in order to maximize their learning efficiency better, right? It's yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But 5 years out, where do you see this going? Is this is learning clues then a tool that someone's using and leveraging some of that same data from their courses that they took in college well after they've graduated in some capacity? Do you see learning clues being developed to support learning outside of higher education in some way?
First of all, we think that this is a system that is sort of what comes after the LMS. The LMS is a fantastic organizer course with content, a place to put documents for your students to access, a place to store information, a place to, most importantly, to store the grades for the class. So what we consider ourselves is more of an aggregator, kind of like what Google does with the news. They don't report news themselves, but they aggregate the news into one spot where you can consume it. Likewise, our system aggregates material from multiple sources, the LMS, in some cases the textbook, and certainly from videos in the course. Puts it all together into a holistic system that now the student can ask questions, and the instructor knows that we give the instructor total control over AI, because the only content that we access is that which the instructor has made available in the course. So the answers the students are going to get will be limited to all the information from the course. There won't be hallucinations coming from outside of that resource. A, it's a safer spot for instructors. And B, we take the work out of just trying to collect all the information that's in that ecosystem for education. Second part that you raised there too is lifelong learning. So now with this model where we can track students from course to course over multiple semesters, you are giving the student, you know, the memory of all these courses that they've had in the past, and the ability then to reflect on material that maybe they didn't get the first time, but they bring it up when they need to learn it, and then later in their academic life.
Well, Perry, thank you so much for this conversation today. It gave us a really good sense of what you've been building and how you think about the future of education with learning clues as a pivotal part of a lot of students' journey. So thank you for doing this.
Darren, anytime.